Okie doke. Welcome back to Media Matters Today. I'm your host, Bob McChesney, here in WILL AM 580 in Urbana, Illinois. Today we're coming at you live, and our guest joining us on the phone very shortly is going to be Amy Goodman, the news director at Pacifica Station WBAI in New York City, where she produces and co-hosts with Juan Gonzalez the award-winning independent news show Democracy Now! Amy Goodman has covered U.S. foreign policy and reported for Pacifica and Mexico, Haiti, and Indonesia. She's won multiple awards for breaking the story of the 1991 massacre of peaceful demonstrators in occupied East Timor. She's a recipient of the 1998 George Polk Award for her work on the radio documentary Drilling and Killing, Chevron and Nigeria's Oil Dictatorship. In addition to her radio shows, Amy Goodman speaks around the country on a number of issues, including human rights, alternative independent news, and the nature of U.S. media. Amy Goodman is one of the really outstanding journalists of our times. And Amy, it's a pleasure to welcome you to Media Matters.
It's great to be with you, Bob.
And, you know, last week, I have to confess, I had the privilege of introducing you in Madison, Wisconsin, to a crowd of some 1,800 delirious people. And delirious for the speech you gave them about the importance of a critical media in a free society. In the introduction, I had the privilege of saying that, you know, one of the things when we fight for a better media system we're fighting for is, you know, a really hard-hitting journalism. And I think the work you do very much represents the type of journalism we need a great deal more of in this country.
Well, thanks, Bob, so much, and also thank you for organizing the conference, the National Conference on Media Reform. It really was astounding. There is a movement that is growing in this country that hardly gets any coverage in the mainstream media, and that is the media and democracy movement. The fact that you thought a couple of hundred people would turn out at the University of Wisconsin conference, and you had close to 2,000 people there, shows that there is a movement afoot that people across the political spectrum understand it is not healthy for a democratic society to have a few media moguls like Rupert Murdoch owning the newspaper, television, and radio in a town. You know, Michael Powell, the FCC chair, may have managed to change the rules so far on June 2nd that would launch the largest media consolidation in this country. But in the process, he also launched a major movement that I think has only begun to feel its strength.
Yeah, I certainly hope so. I'm doing what I can to make sure that's the case. Now, Amy, you work at Pacifica Radio, WBAI in New York City, and I think for people who live in New York or L.A. or the Bay Area, they're probably familiar with the Pacifica network and the stations, but I suspect we here in central Illinois, and our signal covers the eastern half of the state of Illinois and a little bit of western Indiana. Listeners might not be that familiar with Pacifica. Can you just say a word or two about Pacifica and WBAI?
Sure. Actually, I was just in Illinois yesterday. I just went to a conference at Northeastern Illinois University on the 50th anniversary of the coups in Guatemala and in Iran. What they have in common was that the U.S. backed the coups, very, very frightening overthrows of democratic governments. But I bring that up now only to say that Pacifica also got its start just over 50 years ago. It was actually right after World War II when a man named Lew Hill, who was a war resister, refused to fight in World War II, came out of the detention camp and said there has to be a media outlet that's not run by corporations that profit from war, but run by journalists and artists. And that's how Pacifica Radio was born, a small, scrappy station in Berkeley, California called KPFA. And it was the beginning of the idea of listener-sponsored public media, public radio. Our network grew to 5 in Los Angeles, KPFK, in New York, where I come from, WBAI, WPFW in Washington, and KPFT in Houston, which, by the way, in its first year of operation, was blown up. The transmitter was blown up by the Ku Klux Klan. The programming of Pacifica goes out around the country. In your area, Democracy Now! Broadcasts on WEFT.
That's right. Every day from 4 to 5 on WEFT, which is 90.1 FM on the dial.
Right. And it really is extremely important right now, in this time of war and selections, when we should be enjoying peace and elections, to have independent media, grassroots media. NPR and PBS took on the whole idea of listener sponsorship, and it was pioneered by Pacifica, the idea that we wouldn't be dependent on corporations. And we see this need more than ever right now. You have a total quagmire right now in Iraq, very frightening time. You have an election year, and you have companies like Clear Channel that own more than 1,200 radio stations in the country, clear channeling their message with Bush-connected leaders of Clear Channel, corporate executives, who are determined to basically limit the voice that we hear in this country, to beat the drums for war. It happens with both politics and with music, where they have lists of songs that cannot be played. They have pro-war rallies, and when broadcasters don't want to participate or have a different message, like the South Carolina Broadcaster of the Year, she was on a South Carolina Clear Channel station, she was fired for daring to utter anything that even resembled the sounds of an anti-war voice. We need an independent media in this country, or our very democracy is threatened.
We're talking to Amy Goodman today on Media Matters. I'm your host, Bob McChesney. Amy is the news director at Pacifica Station WBAI and the co-host with Juan Gonzalez of the award-winning show Democracy Now!, which is heard here in Champaign-Urbana on WEFT 90.1 FM every day, weekdays, 4 to 5 p.m. Amy's joining us live, so if you do want to call in with a question, the number here is 333-9455, the toll-free number 1-800-222-9455. A little bit for listeners who might not be familiar with Democracy Now!, it's a daily show. What sort of stories do you feature on Democracy Now!? What's the format?
We do an hour program where we have debate, discussion, dialogue. On Friday, we talked about what was happening in Iraq with Milan Rai, who has a new book called Regime Unchanged. You know this whole idea. I mean, everyone's heard of it. Regime change. That was the one of the reasons given for the invasion of Iraq. Well, what he's arguing is that regime is actually unchanged, what is happening now in Iraq. I mean, it's very frightening, and the country has, in so many ways, is just in chaos right now. But have they really reshaped who will run this country? I mean, right now we're talking, Bob, on the day after two Black Hawks went down in Iraq, in Mosul. One, it looks like, was hit by a rocket-propelled grenade, and then it hit the other one. And there are at least 17 U.S. soldiers dead. These are very, very grave times for U.S. soldiers. Now more than 400 have died. We also talk about this, that at this point, more soldiers have died in the invasion of Iraq than in the first 3 years of the Vietnam War. More soldiers have died since Bush declared the end of combat operations than before. I mean, remember that moment, May 1st, when he appeared on the USS Abraham Lincoln in his cinched suit, and he made the announcement that the major operations, combat operations, were over. Well, hardly. The people of Iraq did not support Saddam Hussein, but they are equally fierce right now about the U.S. occupation and how frightening it is for them. We don't know how many Iraqis have died. Thousands upon thousands of Iraqis. And now the report out, and we are hoping to talk to Mark Benjamin about this tomorrow, a UPI reporter, that says that they believe around that there are 7,000 casualties in Iraq. We don't hear that number. We are now occasionally hearing the number 400 for the soldiers, but 9,000 casualties, soldiers that are have to leave Iraq because of what they're suffering from. The Bush administration knows well the effects of people in this country hearing that soldiers are suffering in this way, and that's why they are trying to control the picture every which way. You have the executive order now being enforced by Bush that says that photographers and camera people cannot go to Dover Air Base and show the caskets being brought home. They've erected curtains around this area. They've now gone further and said that there cannot be cameras at Arlington National Cemetery when soldiers are buried. They understand when reality seeps in, and that is our job, is to reflect what is honestly going on in Iraq right now. It's why we need independent media. It's why there's critical that there is this media and democracy movement in this country.
Amy, how would you assess the work of over the past 9 months, or say January of this year to the present day, in covering the buildup, the war, and now the occupation of Iraq, the U.S. news media informing U.S. citizens so they can participate in these policy moves?
Well, it's an absolute disgrace. The media in this country is at an all-time low. You know, months ago, people may remember the New York Times Jason Blair story. They did some 4 or 5 page spread on Jason Blair, the young man who made up stories and who was fired. Well, if only the New York Times covered the Jason Blair affair, or rather covered the Bush-Blair affair in the same way they covered Jason Blair. Because they themselves, after the Jason Blair affair, said they reached an 152-year low in their reporting. That's since the New York Times began. They did reach an all-time low, but it's not because of him. It's because of the way they beat the drums for war. You just look, for example, at the stories of Judith Miller, one after another. Her unnamed sources that are her articles held up by Dick Cheney on Tim Russert's Meet the Press show, saying, "Don't believe us," Cheney says. "Look at the New York Times. They're the ones saying that Saddam Hussein was able to get aluminum tubes, which enable him to build up his nuclear program." It was all untrue. And so you have Cheney putting forward the New York Times, and the New York Times relying on unnamed sources in the White House, probably Dick Cheney or one of his people. And you have that week after week, month after month, particularly alarming in the last month when now she moves in and says, it looks like Syria has weapons of mass destruction. You think, oh, my God, we're seeing it all over again. These lies take lives, and that's why they must be challenged. And let's not forget the networks, NBC, CBS, ABC, they are using the public airwaves as well. It's not just Pacifica and NPR and PBS who use them. The networks use our airwaves, and they have a responsibility to present the full diversity of opinion.
We're talking to Amy Goodman today on Media Matters. I'm your host, Bob McChesney. If you want to call in, the phone number here is 333-9455. Our toll-free number, 1-800-222-9455. A few weeks ago, Amy, maybe it's even longer at this point, I'm not sure, the Bush administration started complaining about critical news coverage that they said was presenting a warped view of the great success of the Iraq War and giving the misleading impression that the news media was giving that the occupation was not a success and that the U.S. Military was not being popularly embraced. And in fact, you know, started jawboning the news media. What was your take on that?
I think it's a threat, you know, to the media that they better fall into line. But there is, Bush has a problem right now. This is an election year. This is the way the media works. It's not just that they parrot the line of the administration in power. It's that they parrot the Washington line. And so when you have Democrats joining with Republicans, you don't get any outside perspective. That is what happened in the lead-up to the invasion, right? You had the Democrats joining with the Republicans and voting for war, for example. And so in the media, you had almost no other perspective, despite the fact that more than half the American people were opposed to war. I mean, this is very serious stuff here. In the week leading up to General Colin Powell at the UN Security Council making his push for war, in the week afterwards, Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting did a study of the four major nightly newscasts, NBC, ABC, CBS, and PBS with Jim Lehrer, and found that of 393 interviews done on war, there were only 3 anti-war voices presented, 3 of almost 400. Now, then you have the election year kicking into gear, and you have people like Howard Dean and Dennis Kucinich and Reverend Al Sharpton who are opposed to the invasion. So the spectrum opens up a little bit because the establishment is opening up. So there is some different perspective, and you occasionally hear that. It's interesting with people like John Kerry, who is now getting on the anti-war bandwagon. Let's not forget, this is a guy who voted for war. And then you have General Wesley Clark. This was most amazing, throwing his helmet into the ring. Now, that's not what was amazing, that he ran for president. That's no surprise, and everyone has a right to do that. What was a surprise is that the media painted him as an anti-war warrior. Are they kidding? I mean, this is a man who is a paid consultant to CNN, so we watched him day and night on CNN. We heard what he said as he cheerled for war. You could read what he wrote in the Times of London, his daily pieces, where he egged Bush and Blair on and castigated other countries for not getting on board. Just because this man decides to say, because it's opportune, as he runs for president, that he's against war, for the media not to do any homework. I mean, for God's sake, they don't have to do any research. They have to bring out their own tapes, not from a year ago, but from 3 weeks before. Whatever your position on war, people should be accurately represented.
We're talking to Amy Goodman today on Media Matters. Amy Goodman, the news director at Pacifica Radio, station WBAI in New York City, and the co-host with Juan Gonzalez of Democracy Now!, which can be heard nationwide on many stations and now, I think, carried on public access TV in many communities. And here in Champaign-Urbana can be heard on WEFT 90.1 FM, 4 to 5 p.m. weekdays. We've got a bank of phone calls for you, Amy. Let's go right to the phone lines now. Line 1, Champaign, you're on the air with Amy Goodman.
Is this me?
It is you.
Okay. I share all of your concerns about this war and this administration. I rely, in terms of print media, pretty much on my subscription to the Washington Post Weekly. My view is that generally they have been fairly good about criticizing our times. My question is, what kind of, I cite particularly to Walter Pincus, who would not let the lie about the mass destruction weapons in existence. And so I'll get off the wire, but I would like to have you give me a calibration on generally the quality of the reporting by the Washington Post. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, caller. Yeah, and no, Amy, after you calibrate the Washington Post, maybe give a sense of where you turn to get your news. I mean, but what you consider really good sources people might want to look to.
Well, on that point of the Washington Post and what do I think of the coverage between it, you know, how does it compare to the New York Times, I'm thinking about the Jessica Lynch story. Right now I'm actually looking at a piece at commondreams.org to answer the second part of your question, Bob.
Okay.
All the different places that I look to. I read also the Washington Post and the New York Times and the Financial Times. And here in New York, Newsday, I think, is the best of the daily newspapers. I look at the tabloids, the Daily News, and the New York Post, also the Christian Science Monitor, tends to beat the drums for war a little softer, let's put it that way. There's Investors, Business Daily, IBD. It's interesting, Wall Street Journal, they sometimes are more honest in their news coverage because, you know, they're just right out there. They explain who they are. This is how it's good for war, how war is good for business. But it's very illuminating to see how companies are benefiting or are hurting as a result of the war. And, of course, the Internet, just going through the Internet and reading, getting as much information as possible. My colleagues at Democracy Now! Are an unbelievable group of researchers and producers and reporters. Hearing from people around the world who email us, suggest stories. But I'm looking at this piece now on commondreams.org on my little computer. Jessica Lynch's story is turning into a monster for the Bush administration, a victim of circumstance used by the Pentagon. This is a piece in the Toronto Star, and it's by a woman named Linda Hurst. And you made me think of it, the caller, because it was Washington Post exclusive, the first story of Jessica Lynch, saying that she had been, you know, she was saved by the U.S. military in a daring nighttime raid. She had shot her way out of a dangerous situation, not out of a dangerous situation, but she had, used every last bullet in her gun and just kept shooting. Now the recent news that her book has come out, I Am a Soldier Too, and the movies that are coming of it, all this. But let me just read a little from this, just to give you a sense. Now, of course, this story ends up being exposed. And I will say, this is a brave young woman. I have no doubts about that. What we really have to look at is what the Pentagon did to her story. But let's look at this piece. It says, "Pity the poor PR boys at the Pentagon. It may be hard, but try. They thought they had it made. A pretty blonde soldier ambushed by the Iraqis, courageously firing until her ammo runs out, shot and stabbed and carried off by the enemy, who, after taking time out to rape her, deposit her unconscious body in a hospital, where she is slapped around by evil medical staff, then, 9 days later, is rescued in a daring nighttime raid that's videotaped and can be shown repeatedly around the world, and who, as soon as she recovers, will tell what it's like to be an all-American hero. It was a gift from the propaganda gods. Just two problems. It didn't happen that way, and the designated hero, Private Jessica Lynch, refuses to say it did. In fact, Lynch is telling anyone who asks that she's no hero. That wasn't me. I'm not about to take credit for something I didn't do. I'm just a survivor, she said. Well, okay so far, modesty and all. But Lynch is also a mite angry about the Pentagon's manipulation of events and can't seem to stop correcting the record. She says she never got off a shot because her gun jammed. The Iraqi medical staff were kindness itself. She was out cold for 3 hours after her Humvee crashed in the grenade attack, so she doesn't remember any sexual assault, and shocked Iraqi doctors deny it. As for the dramatic Rambo-style hospital raid on April 1st, she says there was no resistance, no Iraqi military in the hospital, and staff even offered the key rescuers a key. The Pentagon, quote, use me to symbolize all this stuff, Lynch told a fawning Diane Sawyer on ABC last week. It's wrong. Yikes. Time for Plan B. It isn't our fault. A senior military official tells Time magazine, contrary to appearances, that Saving Private Lynch story was not, no way, a calculated PR ploy, but more a comedy of errors based on patchy battleground, battlefield intelligence. The media just ran with it. What the Lynch story actually is, says critics, is a star-spangled metaphor for the confusion and deceit that marked the Iraq foray from the start. And then it quotes a colleague of yours, Bob McChesney, Mark Crispin Miller, media analyst at New York University, who says this White House believes they can spin their way out of anything and they assume reality will surrender to their spin. But Jessica Lynch will not play along. She may not appear self-assertive, but she can clearly tell illusion from reality. Good for her. I bring that story up because while some listeners may be familiar with it now, most people in this country do not realize the myth that was created around Jessica Lynch that was not for her welfare, not for her well-being. It was for the Pentagon at a time when the U.S. troops were stalled, when it was looking very bad, and they needed this kind of story. It is not our role in the media to be an assembly belt to roll out these stories. It's to dissect them. It first appeared in the Washington Post. They later did do an analysis, but of how they, you know, got the story and how they aired. But the key is the system still stands in the mainstream press of how these stories can occur because the corporate media relies so heavily on unsubstantiated, unnamed government sources, and that's how these kinds of stories can be put out and live. And it is the responsibility of the press to, as I.F. Stone said, to understand that governments lie.
We're talking to Amy Goodman today on Media Matters. I'm your host, Bob McChesney. Amy is the news director at Pacifica Station WBAI and the co-host of the award-winning show Democracy Now!, which can be heard locally on WEFT 90.1 FM every day from 4 to 5 p.m. We have a couple callers waiting. If you do call, I promise we will get to you. Please be patient. The number here, if you want to call, we have a couple lines open. 333-9455 is our local number. The toll-free number, 1-800-222-9455. Let's go back to the phone lines now. Line 2, Urbana, you're on the air with Amy Goodman.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, I really enjoy your show. Actually, I came to your show through the Internet. That's another way to see what you all are doing. And I try to watch it several times a week or review your archives. The one question I had, you had interviewed a Colonel Sam Gardner not too long ago. And
yeah.
I was curious. You had him on your show, and I guess originally there was some information in the U.S. News and World Report. But aside from those two sources, has his story actually gotten much airtime or print?
No, it hasn't, and it's really interesting that you should raise that story.
I can't even find, you know, I go to the link on your website, and I can't even get to the PDF file. I don't know if it's my computer or if it's just hard to find information on what he's written, but it's very intriguing, and it just seems that it's not easy to get at that information. And I mean, I appreciate the programs like yours that try to bring it to us. But
well, I think all of Central Illinois is now waiting with bated breath to hear about this story. So, Amy,
what's
the story?
Colonel Sam Gardner is retired. He used to teach at the Naval College, and he recently put out a report called Truth from These Podia, like plural for podium.
Mm-hmm.
And what he does is he dissects stories like the Jessica Lynch story. It's very interesting to hear a person from the inside say that he realizes that we're talking now about a very carefully laid out, basically, web of lies that the Pentagon has spun to justify this invasion, and that it's a crime committed against the American people. And he saw how systematic it was and tells one story after another, where the Pentagon knew full well that the story was not the case, or the manipulation of the intelligence, you know, everything from Joe Wilson and the ambassador who was ambassador leading up to the Persian Gulf War, hailed by President Bush Sr. as his eyes and ears on the ground in Iraq, who now comes forward to say, you knew that the Niger story wasn't true, that story of the uranium being sold to Saddam Hussein, saying to Bush, you knew this story wasn't true, or it became clear the Bush administration knew it wasn't true, and yet it was put forward. And as a result, his wife was outed as a CIA operative. And interestingly enough, she was investigating weapons of mass destruction. But he takes one story after another and shows how it was built, how the lies were put out. Everything from the fact that when Jessica Lynch was taken prisoner, the first calls were made to CENTCOM to PR, because they deal with everything as a PR story, and they throw it out in that way, too. And he interestingly makes the point that perhaps being in the military is the only profession where it is actually a crime to lie. But he has put this out, and it is on the Internet, and I hope people can find it. I'm not sure why your computer can't open it, but Sam Gardner had very important things to say. He was a commentator for PBS. The NewsHour with Jim Lehrer also was one for BBC, but they have not dealt with the story. I believe that we basically at this point are the only national network that has broadcast this, and he very carefully researched it. You know, again, just a guy on the inside who says he's starting to realize that there is a mass pattern here, a mass pattern of deception.
Yeah, if I recall, I read a little bit about this story. He has basically comprehensive nexus and transcript accounts of all news coverage of these stories, so he can actually track how they evolve.
Saying how you can track them?
You know, he actually has tracked them himself, so he sees exactly how the stories evolve and links them up to the press activities of the Pentagon and the White House.
That Sam Gardner has?
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. He develops them from the beginning to the end.
Yeah.
And it's that kind of an, I mean, this is one guy.
Yeah.
This is what the role of the media should be. And we shouldn't have to track how the deception gets out there and then it gets dissected, because how does it get out there?
Yeah.
I mean, the Pentagon can say what they want, but it gets out there through the mainstream media. And if they simply apply the same rules that they would to a grassroots organization, I mean, if you were to say something happened, they are not going to just go on your word, Bob.
That's right.
They would try to get another source and another source and probably use some basic good journalism. But when it comes to the government, every rule of journalism is thrown out the window. All you have to do is say unnamed sources. I mean, this is what Judith Miller did over and over again. I believe unnamed sources should only be invoked when someone's life is threatened or something could happen to their family. You know, I mean, I covered Timor for many years, a place that saw one of the worst genocides of the 20th century. When someone spoke there, they are terrified that someone in their family could be taken and tortured. Now, there is a reason, then, to use an unnamed source.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're talking about a government official that simply doesn't want the lie that he spews to be traced back to him, that is not a reason to not name him. That's
right.
It is just basic.
We're talking to Amy Goodman today on Media Matters. I'm your host, Bob McChesney. We've got a couple of callers who have been very patient. If you do call in, please do stick with us. I promise we'll get to you. Line 4, Chicago, you're on the air with Amy Goodman.
Yes, I'm enjoying your show. I hope my question isn't off the subject, but I wanted to ask it anyway. Part of it has been argued that some of the reasoning for the attack on Iraq is linked to a plan by so-called neoconservatives in order to attack the countries that are a danger to the establishment of the State of Israel. And my question is for your end, and also I just read a survey about a survey that people in Europe say that Israel, Iran, and the U.S. are among the reasons for the threat to world, major threats to world peace. My question is, does your guest think that the reporting of the events in Israel has been fair and balanced? And if there is in fact some validity to this question of attacking the states that are opposed to Israel, is a reasoning for going into Iraq and maybe Syria next? And is the reporting of the events in Israel adding to that or what?
Oh, thank you very much, caller. Amy?
Thanks for your call. First of all, let me just say that I am Jewish, and my grandfather is an Orthodox rabbi. Some of my family do live in Israel. I don't think that the reason for the invasion of Iraq was Israel, but I do think that the reporting in Israel has been fiercely skewed against the Palestinians. It's very frightening. Again, all the basic rules of good journalism are disregarded when coming to coverage of Israel and the occupied territories. I was recently, a couple months ago, out in Olympia, Washington, at the graduation of Evergreen State College.
That's my alma mater, you'll be glad to know, Amy.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, you had a wonderful school. And it was the largest graduating class, but it was missing one young woman, 23-year-old Rachel Corey, who on March 16th, just before the invasion of Iraq, was killed in Gaza by Israeli troops. She was crushed by a military bulldozer. It's a story that really has gotten very little coverage, and obviously thousands of Palestinians have been killed, but she is a young American woman. It's unusual for an American to die in the occupied territories. Her parents have been fighting for a congressional resolution, simply calling for an investigation, an honest, independent investigation. We have to get fair reporting out of the occupied territories, everything from what the Israeli military calls the security wall, which Palestinians and critics call the apartheid wall, the Berlin Wall, they call it the barrier that has displaced thousands of Palestinians that is going up now in the West Bank. And in the end, it saves not only Palestinian lives, but Israeli lives as well, because as the violence escalates, it's a danger to everyone. And having this kind of one-sided reporting does no one a service, does everyone a disservice. Now, for high-level, I believe their generals, Israeli generals, have come out opposed to Sharon and what he's doing in the occupied territories. It's much more instructive, if you want to learn about what's happening in the occupied territories, to read the Israeli press than the U.S. press. The Israeli press is much more critical than the U.S. press. But it's also absolutely critical that we hear Palestinian voices. And that's when you tune into Democracy Now!, you will hear that rare moment where Palestinian people are heard, as well as Israelis and Israeli peace activists, but everyday people. And I would say that's in general, that is what is so rare in the mainstream media in this country, is hearing the voices of everyday people, not just the voices of officialdom, not just being stenographers to those in power or megaphones for those in power. It's hearing how policy affects everyday people. And that's what we need more of in this country. It's why we need independent media.
We're talking to Amy Goodman today in Media Matters. I'm your host, Bob McChesney. We have lines open if you'd like to call in. The number is 333-9455. Our toll-free line is open, 1-800-222-9455. Let's go back to the phone lines now. Line one, the most patient person in Illinois. Welcome to our program today.
That would be me.
That's you.
In my circumstance, I have a lot of idle time, so I try to fill it with watching Democracy Now! Every morning. And I second the person's, though I'm affiliated with the radio station locally, I do think that people should go to the web and watch things, too, because you do some great things with the web, and as well as debuting films that are should be seen on PBS or even commercial, you know, the Convoys of Death film about Afghanistan. And I did find that the Truth from These Podia is available from the U.S. News and World Distort website. So just look for the thing called the column called Whispers. I gather that might be their own assessment of how much attention they're going to give to the report. It's also pointed out in the bio of Gardner that he was a frequent guest on PBS's NewsHour, and
right.
I wonder why he fell out of the Rolodex there. It's just I think we should urge that that he be on that. But I actually was I was responding to your first caller in the sense because Walter Pincus is an ex-CIA. I don't know if he's an asset or agent. So I don't. And between that and the famous speech that the former editor
Catherine Graham
speech at the CIA at Langley, saying that you know we know what to say and we know what not to say. So it just shows how much division I guess there is. My favorite, and though Gardner mentions the weapons labs, Powell's Winnebagoes of Deaths are I think so lampoonable that I think that more people ought to pay attention to that particular lie. You've done a great job with people, but there's another thing that I'd like to see and you do more on, and that's this David Kay's outfit, not while he's wearing the hat of the weapons inspectors, but the scientific applications in computing, because that group apparently, that corporation has apparently been expose just recently on Now with Moyers for getting these really lucrative contracts, but they've been doing also, they're very spooky. I mean, they have ex-CI people are on the board of directors with David Kay, and there's even an accusation that they helped disrupt the oil production system in Venezuela during the strike of the ruling class that happened down there. So I whatever you want to react to in that, I just applaud your efforts. But I do encourage people to go to the website and watch some of the things that you present and the links and keep up the really awesome work that you're doing. Thanks very much.
Wow. Well, you are quite a listener to be raising all of those issues. Yeah.
Now, Amy, before you go on, maybe I didn't give the website address yet. Why don't you do that?
Right. Well, our website is democracynow.org. And even if folks do not have computers, you can watch Democracy Now! It's a TV show as well as a radio show. It's now the largest public media collaboration in the country. We broadcast in over 170 radio as well as TV stations. You can call PBS and ask them to start broadcasting Democracy Now! Or your local public access TV station. If you go to our website, democracynow.org, it shows you how many different stations run us, where they are. You can see if you have one in your area, but you can just ask your local public access TV station to run Democracy Now! We also broadcast four times a day on Dish Network, if you have the Dish, at channel 9415, which is free speech TV, the only or the oldest progressive independent nonprofit TV channel in the country. That's 9415 on Dish Network, and we broadcast starting 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and then at noon, and then at 7 and midnight Eastern Standard Time every day on free speech. But I bring that up to say how important it is to use these public media spaces and get information out. The caller just asked the question about SAIC, very important corporation. Yes, where David Kay also hails from, the CIA agent, weapons inspector. SAIC, yes, it is also my understanding that in the attempt to unseat the president of Venezuela, Hugo Chavez, that first you had the attempted coup, and then you had the so-called strike, which was a management-led strike, to try to shut down the country by an oil strike. It wasn't the workers striking, it was management. And the company that runs the basically the computer controls for the oil industry in Venezuela is SAIC. That's right, the very one David Kaye hails from, that's so intimately connected to Iraq. So if you have a company that is not handing over the passwords and everything to turn the flow of oil off and on, however the whole oil industry works, you have a big problem. You have people like Bobby Inman, who was nominated to be the director of Central Intelligence, yes, as part of SAIC, and the list is long. And it's very frightening when you look at the trend that's happening in this country under the Bush administration is privatization of the military as well. So you have these private military contractors with no deniability, private military contractors that provide cover for the administration to do their dirty work. And it is very serious, and it must be challenged.
We're talking to Amy Goodman today on Media Matters. I'm your host, Bob McChesney. Lines are open. We've got a little over 10 minutes left at 333-9455. Call if you'd like. The toll-free line open to 1-800-222-9455. Amy, turning to the domestic front politically, what sort of stories are out there do you think that need to get a lot more attention that aren't getting covered yet in the mainstream press that you're looking at Democracy Now?
The whole issue of the war at home, the attacks on immigrants in this country is very frightening and has implications for all of us. Now it's Arab Americans, Muslims, people of South Asian descent, but the number of people, hundreds, perhaps thousands, over the last few years who have been detained, we don't know the charges against them. We don't know their names. The secret airlifts of men, for example, to Pakistan. We know in this country that after World War II, what happened to Japanese Americans during World War II was a bad thing. The government has apologized. People have been given compensation, certainly not what they should get, but they got something. But now history is repeating itself, and it's very much kept under wraps. It's all part of the USA Patriot Act and USA Patriot II, which is, I think, called the Victory Act. But we have to be very vigilant. The government will deny it, but we have to, as journalists, get behind what is happening, especially when people in this country who are the most vulnerable are hit. It's very important that there is a media that is there not for the powerful, but to hold those in power accountable. The attack on all of our civil rights is increasingly scary. A surveillance of society that is being built, that John Ashcroft is determined to build, whether he succeeds or not. It's uniting people across the political spectrum against Bush. But the idea that our internet activity, just going to the library, now FBI agents can ask a librarian to hand over any information about a particular patron who comes in, and librarians are fighting back. They have a computer program that they've actually long had that de-links the name of a person to the book if they return their library book on time, so that they don't have a paper trail to hand over to the government. They don't want to become the spies of our modern-day society. And it's amazing. You know that the country has come to a very critical time when the librarians have to be the freedom fighters.
Amy Goodman, I'm talking to you today on Media Matters. I'm the host, Bob McChesney. Amy Goodman is the news director at Pacifica Station WBAI, and she's also the co-host of the award-winning program Democracy Now!, which can be heard in Champaign-Urbana on WEFT every day from 4 to 5, 90.1 FM. Not too long ago, President Bush was being interviewed in one of his rare interviews, and he was asked about his own media consumption. And you might recall this interview. And he said that he avoided the media entirely, had no use for it whatsoever, and instead he was able to get his accounts of the world directly from his advisors like Condoleezza Rice. So he was getting the unadulterated truth, not mediated at all. So he could put him in a much more privileged position. It was really a rather astonishing statement for a political leader to say something like that. Did you recall that interview?
It's interesting, yeah. Bush saying that he doesn't like to read the papers, that he gets his information from his advisors like Condoleezza Rice. Yes, that concerns me a great deal. You have, for example, let's look at Condoleezza Rice, right, who is a national security advisor now, used to be on the board of Chevron for more than a decade. I'm very familiar with this company, the largest oil company headquartered in California, because my colleague Jeremy Scahill and I went to Nigeria to investigate Chevron and found that they were involved in gross human rights abuses, including the killing of two villagers in the Niger Delta in the south of Nigeria. Now, it's interesting. That was in 1998. Condoleezza Rice was on the board all through that time, only left to become Bush's national security advisor. In fact, had an oil tanker, a Chevron oil tanker named after her, and that tanker continued with her namesake, for several months into the Bush administration until they were just humiliated into forcing the name to be taken off the oil tanker. But you look at people like Condoleezza Rice, and then you've got Karl Rove. There's a book about him called Bush's Brain. It's fun to call book to go to bookstores and ask if they have Bush's Brain. But anyway, Karl Rove, a long-time inside operator, and Karl Rove is now the chief suspect in the case of the leaker. Remember that story? It's hard to remember these days.
Yeah, vaguely.
The story.
Yeah.
Right, that I just talked about with the
that was back before the Kobe Bryant case, I think.
Say that again.
That was back before Kobe Bryant hit the news.
Was there anything before that?
Yeah. JonBenet Ramsey.
The question of what happened to this leaker in the White House, the one that leaked the name of Joe Wilson's wife. Supposedly, the Justice Department is doing an investigation. Chief suspect Karl Rove. Now, do you think John Ashcroft will investigate him fairly? John Ashcroft, who paid him close to $750,000 to help him with his gubernatorial and his senatorial campaigns in Missouri. John Ashcroft, will he investigate him fairly? Here is Karl Rove, who, when Bush did not choose John Ashcroft as first choice for Attorney General, Rove lobbied on John Ashcroft's behalf. And now the Attorney General is supposed to be investigating whether Karl Rove did this or not. We need real justice in this society.
What about coming into the election? We've only got a few minutes left. And as you pointed out right at the top of the show, you talked about the importance of the coming year politically, the situation the United States is in. And I think by any standard, the coming election is going to deal with the issues of war and peace, issues of the direction of the country, civil liberties. What is your sense of the press coverage so far of the coming presidential election?
Well, so far it's the same. It's always the kind of horse race coverage. Who's this? Who's that? Who's made more money? Always said, by the way, in a uncritical way, when Bill Bush is off at another fundraising stop. Gosh, did you hear he raised more money this year than other times, as opposed to, well, I think we should take a very critical look at what money means in elections. It has been raised recently because of John Dean, or rather because of Howard Dean, saying that he will opt out of the campaign finance system. Also, John Kerry then followed suit. But I just want to see issues covered. That's what I care about, and bringing in all the candidates. We're now going to come into, well, I think it was Terry McAuliffe just announced there will be another Democratic debate in New Hampshire. I think Ted Koppel is going to officiate there. But pushing issues and including people across the political spectrum, and that includes not just Democrats and Republicans. And I think we need to hear what people's concerns and questions are, and we need a journalism that doesn't just deal with personalities.
Amy, we've only got a couple minutes left, and we do have one final caller. Bethany, Illinois, you're on the air with Amy Goodman.
Yes, I won't take too long. I'm enjoying your program, and just for your information, I've stopped watching network news. I appreciate WILL's BBC News. But you mentioned there's a Champaign station that carries Democracy Now?
That's correct. WEFT 90.1 FM. Every day from 4 to 5 weekdays.
4 to 5.
That's right.
That's what I wanted to know.
Yeah. Oh, I hope you tune in. And it's great to know that there is public media in your area that is so critical.
Yes, I'd like to listen to you people some more. I find this very interesting, and I agree with a lot of what you're saying. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for calling.
Uh-huh. Goodbye.
All right. All right. Well, we've jacked up your ratings in town here, it looks like, Amy.
Yeah, sorry, say that again.
We've got your ratings increasing here for your local coverage. So
we also just want to say I'd like to take credit for being news director BAI, but I no longer am.
Oh, okay.
I can't quite manage to be news director BAI and also do the program, this national show, but WBAI, the station I come from in New York, is a very important place, really on the vanguard of community media in this country. And I broadcast from a firehouse just down the road from WBAI, which is a community media center that enables us to do both the radio as well as the television. And as the previous caller said, it's amazing to watch Democracy Now! Because we are bringing out the images of videographers, filmmakers, and photographers that you see nowhere else. And radio listeners don't even particularly know that's happening because they are listening to the radio show. But we do have these images that, for example, we premiered the documentary that was referred to, Afghan Massacre, Convoy of Death, about U.S. forces working together with Afghan forces involved in massacres. We are now at a point where we're able to break the sound barrier in this country nationally with independent films and footage from around the world that airs other places but cannot air here, even in the public media system that we have. And so Democracy Now! Is providing a forum for those voices.
You know, we've only got a couple seconds left. To do good journalism on radio, television, or anywhere, it takes resources. It takes time. It takes human labor. And there's not a lot of, you know, you don't have advertising on the show. Are you able to generate the funds to support the journalism you do?
Well, I mean, we always need support. And Pacifica Radio supports Democracy Now! And we also need support from listeners and viewers around the country. It is the philosophy of Democracy Now! And Pacifica, which is listener, viewer, support. And I think that's as it should be. It is absolutely critical that we not turn to the weapons manufacturers and the Monsantos and the ADMs of this country to bring you the information that we do.
We've been talking to Amy Goodman today, the host, co-host of Democracy Now!, which can be heard locally from 4 to 5 on WEFT-FM here in Champaign-Urbana. You can also go to the website, democracynow.org, to see everything you need to know about the program, learn how you can download it, contribute to it, listen to it. Amy, thank you so much for being our guest today in Media Matters.
Thank you so much, Bob.
All right, and keep up the great work. I'm Bob McChesney. We'll be back 1 week from today with our guest, Katrina Vandenhoevel, editor of The Nation magazine. In the meantime, have a great week, and see you then. Bye-bye.